You know, if you have a Bible with you today, open it up to Colossians 1, verse 15. All right, before I go on, I'm going to pray. Can we do that? Let's pray together. Lord, I ask that as I share from your word today, that your word would go forth and accomplish the purpose for which you sent it. God, that it would sow into the soil of our hearts and bear fruit that remains. God, I ask that as your word is spoken, that you would be revealed for who you are, and that we would be changed as we see you. So, Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you would do what only you can do in this place today. Shine light in dark places of our minds. Display your glory before our hearts, that where there is dullness in our hearts, it would be replaced with passion for you as we see you for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I wanted to read to you from verse 9 to 18, but for the sake of time, I'm going to jump into the main point I wanted to go into, starting in verse 15. So before that, I will just say that prior to Colossians 1:15, Paul gives this description of what Jesus has done in saving us, in bringing us from darkness into light, conveying us into his kingdom, making us partakers in the inheritance of the saints in light, it says. And I believe he says in light because it's speaking of part of our inheritance is having our mind illuminated to the truth that where there was darkness, there's now light. And as he talks about what Jesus has done, he then goes off into this portion we're going to read and he talks about who Jesus is. He gives this one of the most profound descriptions in Scripture. And so here we go. Let's read it. If you have your Bible, please read along. Feel free to keep it open there and eyes on it throughout the message. My hope is that this scripture will land in your heart and accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. Here we go. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 18, okay? It says, he, that being Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Wow. That word right at the end is what has just stirred in my heart to share this message. That he may have in all things the preeminence. This sermon is titled The Preeminence of Jesus in All Things. Now, when I use that word, you may be, like some of you, preeminent, like that's not a word that we use very often. So let's just look at that word first of all. This is a definition for preeminent. Surpassing all others. Very distinguished. Foremost. Prominent. Supreme. Jesus surpasses all others. He is very distinguished. He is foremost. He is prominent. He is supreme. because of the reality of who Jesus Christ is, he should be the preeminent focus in all that we do. In our thinking, in our preaching, in our singing, in our praying, in our reading, in our studying, in our eating, in our drinking, in our breathing, in our sleeping, in our waking, in our marriages, in our friendships, in our parenting, in our spending, in our saving, in our giving, in our working, in our playing, in all things, may he have the preeminence. Too often, these things in themselves become the focus of our lives, and the preeminence of Jesus is misplaced. It's in the wrong place, in the wrong order. When Jesus is not preeminent in our lives, everything else ends up out of order. Wrong order. And as a result, doesn't work the way it's designed to work. I will say that again. When Jesus is not preeminent in our lives, everything else ends up out of order. And I hope you catch the play on words in that phrase I just described. For time's sake, I won't repeat it. This is recorded if you want to listen again. My hope this morning is that the Holy Spirit will use the things I say, and more importantly than the things I say, the things that the Scripture says, to restore, reinforce, and establish the preeminence of Jesus in your lives. That's my hope. And as a result of the preeminence of Jesus established in your life, that it would be established here in our church. And as the result of the preeminence of Jesus established in our church, that it would go forth into all of the world. That Jesus would be magnified as preeminent on the earth. How? Starting in your life, in your heart, in your mind, in your thinking, in all this. And you know, when I read out that list of all these things in which he should be preeminent, I started with, in our thinking, on purpose. May Jesus be preeminent in our minds, in our perspective. The title of this next section we're going into is Know Jesus, Know Reality. It's knowledge of Jesus, not N-O-K-N-O-W. Know Jesus, and actually it goes the other way. N-O, know Jesus, know reality. Actually, anyways, that's you'll catch that as we go forward. You see, when most people are asked the question, what are you thinking about? What's the typical answer? Nothing. Nothing. We either don't want to admit what we're actually thinking about, or we really have just no clue whether we were thinking of anything. But may we become a people who can sincerely answer that question with the best and the most logical answer in the universe. What are you thinking about? Jesus. What are you thinking about? Jesus. What are you thinking about? Jesus. Now, yes, it connects how Jesus relates to my money, how Jesus relates to financing, how Jesus relates to the state of my heart, but ultimately, Jesus. And I very intentionally refer to that as the most logical answer, because all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. So to be thinking about Jesus is the most logical thing to be thinking about. Because if he did create everything and in him all things consist, I would say this. If he is the creator and the upholder of all things, then the best starting point to understand anything is by seeking to understand Jesus. To seek to understand the reality of anything without Jesus as the preeminent focus and the lens through which we perceive will always fall short of real understanding and true comprehension of reality. I'll put it like this, okay? Give you a metaphor. And it may fall short, but we'll try. Trying to understand reality without any understanding of Jesus is like being a marine biologist trying to study forms of life in the ocean with no understanding of the ocean itself. No understanding of how water works, how the fact that salt water and the nutrients in it relate to those life forms. That the very environment and place in which these life forms you're studying exist and thrive, trying to understand reality without an understanding of Jesus is like that. Does that make sense? And Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." In John 14:6, Jesus said the words many of us are familiar with, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." If you want to know truth, know Jesus. Jesus is the only source for true perception of reality. Another way I would say it is that Jesus is reality. And for us to maintain a proper view of life and the world around us, Jesus must remain preeminent in our perspective. In order for that to happen, we need to see how he is preeminent in all things. In other words, I'm saying he needs to remain preeminent in our focus, in our perspective. But whether he is preeminent in your focus or perspective does not change the fact that he is preeminent in all things. And in order to grasp reality and God's design and truth, that reality that he is preeminent ought to remain in our perspective. It must be the lens through which we view life, the universe, truth, reality in itself. And I believe that the Holy Spirit can take this truth that Paul speaks of, and we're going to look at again here, and he can use the truth that Jesus is preeminent in all things. By establishing that, it can stay plastered in your perspective, right there up in the forefront. So let's look at it. Because, you know, we could look at the whole Bible. The Bible is full of revelation of God, who He is and what He's like, that points to Jesus. Creation itself testifies of who He is and what He is like. And we could look at that, but just for today, for the sake of time, we'll look at Colossians 1, verse 15 to 18. So let's go. Verse 15. Jesus is preeminent in that He is the image of the invisible God. Hebrews 1:3 says that He is the brightness of God's glory, the express image of His person. In John 14:7, Jesus says to His disciples, "If you had known Me, you would have known My Father. And from now on, you know Him and have seen Him." In other words, Jesus is saying, if you've seen Me, you've seen God the Father. He is the most accurate demonstration of God ever displayed. He is God. Jesus, we'll move along here. If you've got your Bible open, please be following and see if these things I say are true. I want you to love the Bible. I want you to love Jesus of the Bible. So let's be a people who open the book. All right? Here we go. Continuing on in verse 15. Jesus is preeminent in that He is the firstborn over all creation. What does that mean? Let's look at this, okay? He is the firstborn over all creation. I want to say He was never created. It is not saying Jesus is the firstborn in creation. Jesus is the firstborn of creation, which is what some translations do say. It says He is firstborn over all creation. He was not created. I'm just flipping because I want to read this in connection to that. John 1, verse 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who's the Word? Jesus is the Word. Okay, for those of you following along, going, I thought we were talking about Jesus. Start again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Listen to this part. This part's a little interesting. All things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. Now, you might go, why did you say that again? You pretty much said the same thing twice. It says, all things were made through Him. Okay, all things were made through Him. But then John goes on and makes sure to say, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In other words, Jesus was not created. Jesus, in the beginning, was, let's replace it, Jesus. And Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. So when it says He's the firstborn over all creation, it's not talking about Him coming into existence. It is a title, again, of preeminence. It speaks of His prominent position, His inheritance, His rule, His dominion over creation. The firstborn in ancient cultures was someone of importance within the family. We get to be a part of the family too. We inherit all things with Him. But He is the firstborn over all creation. I'll say it again. Jesus is preeminent in that He is the firstborn over all creation. Jesus is preeminent. Now we're in verse 16. Jesus is preeminent in that by Him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominion or principalities or powers. Notice the categories. Nothing exists in the natural or the spiritual realm that He did not create. Things visible and things invisible. Things in heaven and things on earth. Even the powers themselves, the authority itself, right? Thrones and dominion. Speaking of those visible powers and authorities. Principalities and powers. Speaking of the spiritual, the invisible powers that be. Says he created them all. Continuing on in verse 16. Jesus is preeminent in that all things were created through him and for him. Everything exists for his purposes and his glory. Not, we sometimes get this one twisted, not that God and everything exists for us. I would touch on that more if we could, but time is short. Moving on. Jesus is preeminent in that he is before all things. Again, back to that thing. He was never created. He has always been. What does Jesus say of himself in Revelation 1 verse 8? I am, let's go to it so I read right. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. He is before all things. Jesus is preeminent in that in him, this again, still in, we've moved to verse 17. Jesus is preeminent in that in him all things consist. In him all things consist. Hebrews 1:3 says he upholds all things by the word of his power. Paul preached in Acts 17 and verse 28, he says, in him we live and move and have our being. Jesus is preeminent in that in him all things consist. Jesus is preeminent. Now we're in verse 18. Jesus is preeminent in that he is the head of the body, the church. He's the leader here. He's the king here. He is the Lord. How does Paul say it? He is the head of the body. What's the body? The church. He is the source of life for the church. He is the source of direction for the church. He is the source of motivation and inspiration for the church. He is the goal of the church. He is the head of the body, the church. And it goes on and it says, and I believe these next two parts we're going to look at, they're connected still to this thing of head of the church, okay? Because he's already, well, let's read the next one, then I'll say this. Jesus is preeminent in that he is the beginning. And I will add, of the church, going back to what was said before. Because, see, Paul had already established that Jesus was before all things, in the beginning, right? I believe he's saying Jesus is the beginning of the church. He's the foundation. He's the chief cornerstone, is what he says elsewhere. That he is the foundation upon which the establishment called the church is built. And then it goes on to this one. Jesus is preeminent in that he is the firstborn from the dead. He's alive. He is risen. Jesus Christ died, was in a tomb 3 days, and physically raised from the dead. And if that is not true, Everything we meet around and talk about is a lie. Makes no sense. The gospel is not true if Jesus is not alive. He is the firstborn from the dead. Interesting, it says firstborn. Why does it say that in connection to that phrase? Anybody have a guess why it says he's the firstborn from the dead in reference to the church? Why? Okay, we have it from children today. Eli, why? There you go. Jesus was the first one to be raised up and go to heaven before any other. This is the first. Now, who are those others? Thank you, Eli. Thank you, Eli. The brave soul in here. Why? So, saying, there's more coming. There are more going to be raised from the dead and go to heaven with Jesus. But he was the first. He's the proof. He's the evidence that this is the real deal. Your dead body will be raised up back to life. And Jesus alive today is the evidence. It's the truth. Made real in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, attested to through hundreds of eyewitnesses, recorded in history. The stuff's staggering when you actually look at the logical, historical evidence for the fact that Jesus raised from the dead. But I will not go into that now again. So after listing all of these things, Paul summarizes it by saying that in all things he may have the preeminence. After I've said all of this, know that Jesus has the preeminence. And you see, and I find it interesting too, this really applies to us, is that he ends on the fact that he's the head of the body, the beginning of that body, the church, that he's the firstborn from the dead. He ends on this note of the church and then says that he may have preeminence in all things. You can see, because sometimes, even in church, even in our preaching, even in our worship, he's not made the preeminent focus. Sometimes we are. Sometimes stuff is. Things. And this is where I want to end. I'll try to end this quick. I want to end on this thought that Jesus is the end goal. He's the prize. He is our inheritance. He's the whole package. The beginning and the end. See, we sometimes get distracted by his gifts and his blessings, or even our identity and who we are. And somehow in the midst of all that, lose sight of him. And in the end, if you read, I'm going to go into this in maybe next week a bit more. I'm going to try to wrap this up. But if you read in Romans 1, that is essentially, that in essence is the definition of sin. That they suppressed the truth of God in their hearts. And they traded the glory of the incorruptible for the corruptible. That they traded in and they began to worship the creation rather than the Creator. That is the essence of sin. And I'll just say this in connection to Jesus being a prize. That, because that is the essence of sin, that is why I don't have a fond place in my heart towards a prosperity gospel. Because the prosperity gospel puts stuff and things and us in the place of God as the end goal of Jesus' work on the cross. Not going to get into, yes, he'll bless you. Yes, he wants to, take care of you. I know that. But Jesus is the goal. Jesus is the prize. He is our inheritance. The thing that sticks with me the most when Jason and I and others in here went and heard Ravi Zacharias and his associates when they were here in Victoria back in September. And these are smart people. Logical people. And this one guy who had studied, he's a major in Islamic studies for 20 years, and he's not only studied Islam, he's studied other religions. And he said this thing that has just stuck with me, so I will share it with you. He said, in all of his studies, Christianity has this one supreme thing that sticks out from all others, from his perspective. He said this. He said, in his studies of Islam, what he finds is that the end goal and what we get and the reward at the end, rivers, crystal clear water for the men out there, bunch of virgins, all this great fun pleasures. And then in other religions, he said, like in Buddhism and Hinduism, what he sees, he's found as the end goal is this absolution of self, where you just no more self-centeredness and you become one with the cosmos. He said the one thing that stands out in Christianity is that God is the end goal. Fellowship with God is the goal, is the prize. Seeing and savoring Him is what it's all about. I heard a preacher one time say this. He said, if you went to heaven and you got there and you found that you had all the resources in the world, you had every physical ability in the world, pleasure beyond anything you ever experienced on earth, all of your favorite friends and family are there with you, there is no limit to the fun you can have, the things you can do, the things that will belong to you, but God is not there, would you be satisfied? He is the satisfaction of our hearts. He is. Is it in Hosea? Correct me if I'm wrong. But He is the desire of the nations. And in next week, I am going to talk about some of the implications of this truth in our lives. All right? But let's wrap up with prayer. And I'm going to ask you to, if you would, just bow your head, close your eyes, and just let other things not be distracting you and focus here for a minute on Jesus. Hopefully more than a minute based on everything I've just said. And I want to invite you to ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart and to show you how there may be ways in your heart, in your mind, in your life where He has been misplaced, where the preeminence of Jesus has been misplaced, and that He would grant you through His kindness and His goodness and His mercy the gift of repentance. So let's pray. Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would take these verses that we've looked at, not just what I have said, but what the Bible says, and you would breathe on it. And you would cause it to bear fruit in our lives. Holy Spirit, I ask you for each one here, myself included, that you would show us where there is not yet light shining into an area of our heart, into our mind, into our thinking. And I ask that by your grace and the work of your Spirit in our lives, that the preeminence of Jesus would be seen, that it would be felt, God, not just known in our head, but from that knowing felt in our hearts. And God, not just felt in our hearts, but from that feeling in our hearts expressed through our lives. That the way we live life would cause people to look and say, Jesus is important to them. Jesus really matters to those people. And that your supreme worth, your preeminent worth above things and stuff would be seen in our lives, heard through our talking, felt in our hearts through our thinking. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed, be strengthened according to his word. I pray. Have a wonderful day.